Hey, Josh, over here.
Emily, hey, this bar is kind of scary.
Yeah, all the bars on this street kind of are.
Well, I've never been on Of Rage Street before, but you like it?
Well, it's not totally gentrified, so that's nice.
Hey, those two twins look kind of nice. They're just standing there, dancing.
Yeah, but you don't want to get too close to them, or they'll start attacking you.
Bummer. Well, at least the jukebox is open.
Go ahead and fire it up. I'll go grab some chicken for you and some apples for me.
Okay, great. This first song comes as a suggestion from Retro Nick. It's called Title Screen, and it's from Das Geheimnis der Happy Hippo. And it's composed by Stello Doesis, or Dosis, for the Game Boy Color. Retro Nick says, I discovered this while looking through YouTube. Had never heard of this game before, so this is definitely a case where nostalgia is not influencing my opinion of the song. It's just so happy. I dare you not to be happy when you listen to this. I love how the arpeggios swirl around your head. This is some amazing stereo panning. This game's soundtrack just might be the most ambitious use of the GB sound chip ever. RetroNick continues, it's pretty obscure, so I found this bit of info on strategywiki.org. Das Geheimnis der Happy Hippo /Incel was the first video game to feature the Happy Hippo characters by Ferrero, who have appeared as figurines in the company's Kinder Surprise chocolate eggs since 1988. As well as in various other forms of media and merchandise. It was released exclusively in German-speaking regions where the characters are very popular, and is thus only available with German on-screen text. As the game is not very text-heavy, however, it can be played without understanding the language.
I failed the dare. I am happy.
Yeah, this is probably the most joy that can be squeezed out of the Game Boy sound chip.
That stereo is crazy. He's right that it's amazing. It's just sort of tickling back and forth, and there's so much going on here.
Yeah, it reminds me of Under the Sea a little bit, with just its, full-throttle happiness. But it's,
I see it's definitely different,
yeah. It's sort of like if the the digital virtual future was the best ending or something like that. Oh, yeah. What am I saying? Say the robots do take over, but they play music like this. That wouldn't be so bad. Yeah, that wouldn't be so bad.
That would be a good deal. I love that Retro Nick discovered this German exclusive title. That's very cool. I would never have found this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep going with this happy vibe we've got going on. And I'm gonna take a suggestion by a listener named Retro, who is of no relation to Retro Nick, as far as I know. It is from the game Flimbo's Quest, which is for the C64. We're going Commodore again. The song title is Song 1 of 10. It was composed by Johan Bjergard and Rain Owehand. Trying my best here. And here we go. Tells us. Came across this song while listening to a gaming podcast. It was a filler between transitions in the show. The song was so happy sounding that to this day I have many different versions of it. Makes me smile every time I hear it, and I hope it makes you smile as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time. These last two songs are really making me feel positively about the robot takeover.
We were really jamming out here. We were getting into these.
Absolutely.
This song is very difficult for me to not sing along to. And I was singing along to it during the off-air portion. It's so good.
Absolutely. There's a lot of melodies too. And it's like each part just gets a little happier, just trying to squeeze more fun out of that sound chip.
Something that I really like about the Commodore 64 soundtracks is that they do a lot of kind of glissandos and pitch bends and things like that. So a lot of times you have a note that's being held and they kind of do a wow wow in it.
Yeah.
And it's just great. It just hits you the right way.
Yeah, a little lick. It gives it that little lick quality, like
yeah.
A guitar or something.
This song makes me feel like I'm going for a stroll somewhere. I feel like I'm walking home from school or something. I don't know. This is a great walking song.
You must have felt pretty good after your classes were over.
That's right. 2:40, ding ding, we're out.
I gotta say, not only must you have been happy to be getting out of school, but you probably thought you just totally killed it in class too. Like, all your comments were good. Your
That's
homework
right.
got full credit.
I totally aced that clarinet solo in band. We are so ready.
You got a hot slice of the pizza.
That's right.
At lunch, I mean.
Yeah. No, in every class there was pizza that day. Yeah. That was a great day.
Oh yeah, maybe you got to watch a movie in one of your classes.
Yep.
Maybe the teacher called on you and you wrote something on the board and your handwriting looked real nice and it was the right answer.
Mm-hmm. And like you and your crush were passing graphing calculators back and forth with notes on them instead of doing what you're supposed to be doing in function, stats, and trigonometry.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I totally didn't do that. I'm just making that up off the top of my head, guys. Totally didn't do that. I was an ace math student, and I was never bored in that class.
All right. Well, I hate to move on from that one, but let's do it anyways. I'm sure this next track recommended by the Gabe is going to give us something else to enjoy. It's called The Cage. It's from a game called Shadowrun. It was composed by Marshall Parker and Sam Powell and John Everest for the Super Nintendo. The Gabe says, one of my favorite games of all time, and this song just rocks.
I like that he spelled rocks with an X.
That's true, he did do that.
It makes it super edgy.
Yeah, I've actually never heard of this game.
Oh, I have.
Tell me about it. It must be good.
Well, I've seen ads for it in gaming magazines that I always thought were really interesting looking.
Hmm.
It's a sci-fi dystopian thing. It has a very brooding feel to it. And I think if I'm remembering correctly, I may be getting this confused with another game, but I think I have it right. There are people who can hack into computers with their minds, and so there's a hacker war going on, and it's the government is taking over. It's one of those sort of things.
I love the drums. I love the beat. It feels good, and I was doing some air drumming.
That's right. This one turned you into a drummer.
Yeah.
Actually, when songs make me do that, I have names now for some of these dance moves, scare quotes, that I do to VGM tunes, and I do call one. I'm totally a percussionist. So if a song makes me air drum, I'm totally a percussionist. I'm totally a percussionist.
What about bongos or something?
That counts.
All right.
Even if you're just doing a cowbell, you're totally a percussionist.
You know what? This song actually makes me want to do air guitar too because of the... Again, it's doing that thing you're talking about, the bends. You know, you can feel like the guitar player like bending that string a little bit.
And think, too, about how much mindfulness the composer has to have to put something like that in. It's such a small thing, but it makes such a difference.
Yeah.
I also want to note that the Gabe had noted that the title of this track was Maria Mercurial, and I could not find that track title anywhere. So, hey, the Gabe, if you want to drop in the comments section and explain the alternate title, I would love that, because I couldn't come up with anything.
How did you know that this was the one that he meant by that?
I went through all the tracks in the game to find it. He very kindly had put a YouTube link to the song, as a lot of our listeners do when they recommend tracks, which is great and very helpful, so we encourage that. So I knew what it sounded like, so I just had to pick it out from the track listing. The Cage, I think, is the name of a club or a bar or something.
You know, that actually brings something to mind that I sort of wanted to talk about.
Mm.
I came to the thought that, you know, what if this show is like a little too hardcore for everybody? And what I mean is, like, when we do the recommendation forms, we're like asking them what's the track title, and not everybody plays games that way, you know?
Right. Right.
So I just want to encourage everybody, don't worry, you don't have to be hardcore when you make the recommendations. You could just try to, like, describe the level, or you can just, actually, Aaron in the past, or a couple people have just recommended a game that they liked, and they liked the music on it.
Yep, an entire soundtrack.
Yeah, and then Emily actually chose a track from the game or whatever.
Yep.
So
if you trust the two of us, Josh and myself, to make a good selection from a soundtrack that you love, you can do that and leave it in our hands. And I hope that we do not disappoint you.
Yeah. Baby steps.
That's right. We're here for you guys, and you're here for us. We'll do this together. The next track I'm going to go with comes from the game Eternal Champions. And this was sent in by someone we've heard from before. And get this. It's from Treyguard. I tried to say Treyguard's name maybe 8 times the first time he recommended a track. Mm. And I did not hit the proper pronunciation in any of those 8 attempts.
I think you did say Treyguard once. I think so. But then you
I
think you ended on Treyguard.
I did end on Treyguard.
Yeah.
I think I was focusing more on the cadence and not the pronunciation. Well, Treyguard, I'm very sorry. My sincere apologies. So this track comes from Treyguard, and we're going to hear Midnight's Stage. So again, this is from Eternal Champions. It was composed by Joe Delia, and it's for the Sega Genesis. Treyguard wrote in, "Hi Josh/Emily, Treyguard here, back again with a further track to delight your ears. I'd like to suggest the stage music for the character Midnight from the game Eternal Champions on the Genesis/Mega Drive. This track starts off rather ominously with not much of a medley, or melody, But around the 17-second mark, it changes to a more uplifting, triumphant tone before finally finishing off with what sounds to me like a wistful-slash-hopeful sound combination, if that makes any sense. Midnight Stage takes place in a jungle in Vietnam at sunset, with helicopters flying in the background, most likely taking place during the Vietnam War. I equate the ominous sound of the track with the war setting, and the wistful and hopeful sound with the background sunset and the hope of a better day tomorrow. I love to hear your interpretations of tracks on your podcast, which bring new light to some already familiar tunes. Keep up the good work.
That's funny that you write that, Traegard, because I was totally thinking of a kind of scenario to go along with this track. And I was thinking still along the lines of the robot uprising. Uprising, yeah. And I think here's how I took it at first, right? You're a slave, you know, obviously, you're a human slave in the mines, and they're playing this music just to make sure that, you know, your silicone mining is like in time or something like that.
It's a work song.
And then like the hopeful part for me sounds like they're just trying to instill a sense of patriotism in your new robot nation or whatever. You know, it's kind of like an anthem.
I see that. You know how else I see that hopeful part? All right, here's my take on this.
All right.
And we're going to go for the full length of what we've been playing today. So in the beginning, the robots come into power and they make a lot of concessions for the humans. And we're pretty happy. It's good times for a while. Then, somewhere along the line, when we start listening to The Cage, things start getting kind of dark, and maybe we're being herded into groups, maybe being sent off to mining colonies. And in this song, like you're saying, we're doing the hard work, but the hopeful part, I don't hear as patriotism. I hear it as the small band of people who are coming together to try to find a way out of the mines.
Oh, okay.
And perhaps steal back a piece of society for the humans.
Well, in a way, that's still a kind of patriotism, but it's a patriotism towards a small group or something.
Right, the human patriotism.
Yeah.
As opposed to the robot patriotism. For the record, I want to say, if robots do actually overthrow us, I don't think that would be so bad. I would like to have a robot for a best friend. Fun fact.
Well, some would argue they've already enslaved us.
That's true.
I mean, here I am staring at you through a computer. I'm like actually tied to this computer right now through this headphone. I carry around one in my pocket. I think you don't have a cell phone though, right?
I have one for emergencies.
Okay.
Just in the event of I'm coming home from work at night at 9 p.m. and I blow out my tires or something like that. I want to be able to call somebody and get help so I don't have to walk along a dark road by myself.
Sure, but for the most part, you're one of the human... what was it? The human...
That's right. This call to human patriotism is resonating with me a little bit.
Yeah. But it's kind of funny that for you, like, you would only call your robot overlords if you're in real trouble. It's like, okay... Okay, I'll plug back into the net.
Yeah, they like me. I'm the teacher's pet. I'm the robot's pet. But anyway, yeah, this track rules. Thank you, Traegard. I really enjoy this. More pitch bending, we were noting. That long note at the end that goes wow, 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 wow. Really good.
Okay, for this next track, I'm going to do a request from Maxwell 7301. Oh, he has like a robot name, actually. This is track 18 from Erika to Satoru no Yume Bouken.
Nice.
Composed by Hirohiko Takayama for the Famicom or family computer, I guess, right?
Yes. Sugoi ne. Thank you.
Maxwell says, I find this track to be very relaxing. It uses the Namco 163 sound chip, which expands the Famicom audio to 8 channels.
I am a super huge fan of this sound chip, actually, so I was really excited to see a request that involved it. You know what this song is?
Mm.
This song is that one cool robot who kind of comes to save the day, who's making an alliance with the humans, trying to sway the minds or ROMs and RAMs of the overlords. That's how I'm seeing this.
And maybe he's convincing the robots that we need our own little spaceship so that we can go find a new world or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, they're cool, but they need their own reality. You know, speaking of like who's in control of who, I have a sort of a theory.
Hit me with it.
Video game music is not video game music anymore.
Expound on this.
You know, I was talking about how different it is to listen to video game music today than it was when the music came out. Mm-hmm. And I talked about how there's, you know, it's not coming out of your TV anymore. It's not, you know, you're not bound to listen to a certain part in a certain portion of the game. But I think, like, the difference in the way we listen to it might be so dramatic that it changes basically the entire experience of listening to this music.
Yeah, our relation to it.
Yeah, like, we're controlling... The music used to be, like, a part of the way the game was controlling us, but now we're taking that out of the game and controlling it, putting it to our own uses.
I have to say, in a related way, nowadays I will buy games because I like the soundtrack. That will actually be the reason I purchase a game. Nothing else. Mm. But I love the music already because I've been listening to it, divorced from the experience of playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually play it in context. And that's very interesting because that's not how you would do it back in the day. The game experience came first and the songs went along with it.
Yeah. It's like we're breaking the system or something.
We're breaking the system and breaking out to get to our own planet.
Yeah. And here's something else that might be weird to people, but I realized that I actually listen to this music more while I'm jogging than when I'm playing video games.
You kind of talked about that in stage.
Oh, yeah.
No, talk about it more.
Well, just that, like, oh, and earlier today I was listening to the Legacy Music Hour 170 while I was playing Sonic and Tails.
Ah, Sonic and Tails.
That's not supposed to happen. Oh, no, sorry, Sonic and Knuckles. Sonic and Tails.
Well, he's in there, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's interesting, though. I will put on other music when I'm playing games that are much more casual. I play a lot of Catan and on the Xbox 360.
Mm.
And although I love the music that goes along with that, that's a pretty good opportunity. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that I play that game and then I put other music on. It's more like there's something else that I want to do that involves my having to listen to it. And then I also play Catan at the same time, just as to have, you know, something else to do. Mm. So really, it's the listening thing that comes first.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if that's interesting. I have a different... That's probably going to get cut out. But let me say this other interesting thing.
Just leave it in there.
Now, I've forgotten what I was going to say. That was so interesting. Oh, so my experience with listening to the music sometimes before playing the game, when I actually do play the actual title, I will get so excited about where the music is and that I recognize it that I will sing along with it and stink at playing the levels at first because I'm way too distracted singing along to the music. Perfect example, Thunder Force 3. I loved that soundtrack so much, bought the game because I loved the soundtrack so much.
Uh-huh.
And the first time I played it, totally stunk because I was just too excited to be singing along.
Your mouth just drops and you're just like closing your eyes. Yeah. That's funny.
But that's an interesting experience. It's almost like if you've got a book series and you decide to read titles in the series that aren't the first. So you start in the middle and then you go back and you get the backstory of what has happened up to the point where you started. It almost feels kind of like that to play a game and already have an experience with it and a real connection to it, even though you've never actually played it before. And then you learn how the music is integrated into it.
That's interesting. Yeah, I've had a sort of similar experience playing a ROM from Gimmick. And just being, like, so distracted by the music and just so frustrated that every time I die, the music would stop. And I'm like, this is not what I want. I want to listen to this music, you know.
I get really sad in RPGs when I'm walking around in the overworld map and I'm like, yeah, this tune rules. Then I keep getting interrupted by random encounters. And after you get out of it, the overworld tune starts. I do a lot of standing around in fields listening to music when I should be slaying monsters.
That's funny.
I think our listeners can relate to this. By the way, that song's a jam.
Oh, yeah. Loved it.
Our final track comes to us from Megamat. This is going to be from Chi-Chi's Pro Challenge Golf, which was composed by Masahito Miyamoto. It is track 13, and it was a Mega Drive-only release, I believe. Megamat tells us, as we all know, golf games have the best soundtracks, and Chi-Chi's Pro Challenge is no exception. What a great track. I'd like to think that this track is played when your girlfriend breaks up with you while you're grabbing a beer at the 19th hole.
Yeah, this is one of the best songs, maybe in the world. I don't know.
This one's right up your alley.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I actually did a karaoke for this one, and it was posted to the LMH Facebook. But you guess what, Mega Matt? You've activated Joshy's Pro Challenge Golf. What is that? Well, here's how this is going to work. If you, listener, recommend a golf game, I will do a karaoke to it. In this case, I've done a karaoke before, but you know what? I kind of felt like I didn't write enough lyrics. It's pretty repetitive if you go to the Legacy Music Hour Facebook and listen to that version. So at the end of this episode, I'll play an updated version of my karaoke to this song.
For the record, I don't feel that you need to explain. I think that's totally fine that you had your demo reel in your back pocket, in your side pocket.
Well,
golf jokes. Yeah. Hilarious,
oh,
right?
Oh, sure. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Wait, no, side pocket. That's not golf.
Yeah.
That's pool.
Well,
fail.
Pool does work when you get to the green, I think, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can pull, you know, hit it into the hole at that point with a cue stick, maybe. But anyways,
well, clearly I just landed myself in the sand trap. Womp, womp.
I love Chi-Chi's Pro Golf Challenge music. They're usually really short songs, but they just sound really good looped too. They tend to be pretty jazzy, and just have great melodies. They remind me of the Gambare Golf Boys.
Boys.
Yeah, Gambare Golf Boys. I think Gambare Golf Boys might be the first golf music genre game soundtrack. I just like stacking words on top of each other.
I just like saying boys.
Oh yeah, well.
This actually brings up something totally unrelated. Well, not totally unrelated, somewhat related. Unrelated from what you were talking about. Anyway, I wanted to apologize to our non-United States of America listeners for always referring to the Sega Mega Drive as the Sega Genesis. That's not very worldly of me. So I just wanted to apologize that we will probably refer to games as being Sega Genesis games and maybe not tack on the Mega Drive part. I don't know. I just felt the need to apologize for being so United States-centric in that.
Yeah.
It was the Mega Drive pretty much everywhere else except here. So really, I mean, just by the numbers, I should be going with the majority here.
You're so insensitive. I just didn't want to say
so
anything
terrible
about it.
I'm so sorry.
All right.
Wait, oh wait. Mm. Before we close this one out.
Okay.
How does this fit with our little science fiction story you've got going on? Is this when we're sitting on the beach on our new planet?
No.
Watching the binary star system set.
No, this
watching
is
watching the five moons rise in the sky.
This is just the virtual reality golf. They let us actually play golf in VR simulators. Yeah, and that's just the music you get to listen to. It's almost worth it, you know.
Yeah,
point.
Yeah. In the end, that's they're like, you know what? We didn't get you guys a planet, but we got you some golf. And you were like, all right.
Oh
this
yeah.
This is all I need. This is all Josh needs, folks. That is going to bring things to a close for us. Don't forget to stick around after our little exit for that special karaoke from Josh. But we want to give out a very special thanks to this week's recommenders, Retro Nick, Retro, period, The Gabe, Treyguard, Maxwell 7301, perhaps our new robot overlord, and Mega Matt.
Thanks, you guys. But we always need more suggestions, so visit us at thevgmjukebox.blogspot.com and use the suggested track button on the right-hand side to fill out the recommendation survey, or email us at thevgmjukebox@gmail.com.
And here's something that I wanted to put to the listeners. In the last episode, we had asked for spa recommendations, and we actually got quite a few right away. So I was thinking that maybe it's easier for people to think of a suggestion when we give them something to go on, either a topic or some kind of hook. So in order to try this, I'm going to give our listeners two prompts that they can perhaps follow.
Mm.
Prompt number one is to suggest a track from a game that you were given as a gift for the holidays.
Mm.
Or if you want to take the challenge, the physical challenge, think of a game you do not like to play. Listen to that soundtrack and recommend a song from that.
Hey, that sounds like fun.
I think that might be interesting. So, and again, not a requirement, just, you know, some extra credit.
Speaking of extra credit, you can subscribe, comment, or rate us on iTunes, or just download the episode on iTunes. We also do have a YouTube channel.
We do. We've been putting up our set lists of the music for each episode. Unfortunately, we have already had a video taken down for copyright claim, but it was a legitimate claim. Yeah, it was Megami Tensei 2. It was the ex-convict song, which I love. But for users, listeners, who want to be listening to that tune, it does exist on YouTube in videos that have the full soundtrack for the game playing, so you can find it, or you can listen to our episode, but unfortunately the one isolated track is no longer available on our little pocket of YouTube.
Okay, great.
Is that it?
I guess that's the end of episode 9. Next week is in 2 weeks it's
next fortnight.
10. Yeah, next fortnight.
See, I'm being really international now.
Last time we did a multiple of 5, we did something a little special. Are we going to do something special for our big 10?
I think we should. Do we have something in the works?
I believe so, probably. So check us out in 2 weeks. We've probably got something special.
Mystery.
Special. And I guess that's it for now. Thanks for listening, guys.
And thanks for all the emails, too. We're getting some really nice emails from people. We appreciate those. We love reading them. It's really fun. So we will see you all again in 2 weeks, possibly for something special, here at the VGM Jukebox.
Bye!
Driving it in.